Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the Stimulating Program Initiative for Retirees that Inspires Thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Senior Director of the OU's Department of Community Projects and Partnerships and Coordinator and Host for SPIRIT. The OU started SPIRIT several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for retirees, not yet retirees, baby boomers, empty nesters, sandwich generation parents, and seniors. Everyone who is looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Now, since the beginning of the pandemic, SPIRIT continues to be a safe and ideal way to connect and learn together in a virtual setting. We are privileged today to welcome back Bonnie Geller to our SPIRIT program. Bonnie is a registered and certified dietitian nutritionist, has worked in medical nutrition therapy and counseling for over 30 years. She has been with us before on SPIRIT and has always been an extremely popular speaker. She will be speaking today on a very important topic to each one of us in these challenging times, eating well in a stressful world. It is my privilege and pleasure to turn the SPIRIT Forum over to Bonnie Geller. Thank you everyone for joining us.
Thank you so much, Judy. I appreciate you inviting me back. And I'm going to just take a moment to share my screen, as I do have some slides that I'd like to use for today's presentation. Give me just one moment. And Judy, if you could just let me know if my slides are being viewed in full screen, that would be great.
They are perfect.
Okay. Wonderful. So again, thank you so much for inviting me here. And I want to welcome everybody for joining me. As Judy said in my introduction, I am a registered dietitian nutritionist and a certified diabetes care and education specialist. I have a private practice in Long Island, New York, but I also now do most of my work virtually due to the pandemic. Now, today's topic is a very important one, eating well in a stressful world. So we are all living through this COVID-19 pandemic, and there's a lot that we can learn about how to eat to strengthen our immune system. And that's what I'm going to go through with you today. So you should have received a worksheet to use during today's presentation. So if you have it, go ahead and pull that worksheet out. And as I speak today, I will be asking you some questions, providing some answers. You can go ahead and fill that in on the worksheet. You may also want to have a blank piece of paper handy for some additional information that I'll be sharing. And if you have any questions at all, I will be providing my email address for you to email. You can email me, you can email Judy, either way, I'm happy to respond. Let's start with what you are going to learn today. Well, first and foremost, we're going to learn how stress affects your health, which foods can help you reduce the effects of stress and build your immune system. We'll do some simple food swaps that you can make to eat healthier without sacrificing taste, and how to eat healthy while working from home for those of you who are either working from home or just find that you're home more often these days. Let's just begin with understanding what, in fact, is stress. So stress is defined as a specific response by the body to a stimulus, such as fear or pain, that disturbs or interferes with the normal physiological equilibrium of the human body. So it's the inability to cope with a threat to your well-being, which results in a series of responses and adaptations by your body. Now, stress can lead to poor health in many ways, which we are going to review together. The question, though, we want to ask is all stress bad? Well, the answer really is no. Stress is a natural biological response to events that alters your body's sense of balance or makes you feel threatened in some way. And this, in fact, can be a positive response when danger or the thought of danger arises as your body kicks into survival mode. However, chronic stress or severe stress goes beyond your threshold and can cause mental and physical symptoms. There are three types of stress. The first is what we call acute stress. Now, acute stress comes on suddenly, doesn't last long, and can usually be managed without long-term effects. So for example, you have an unexpected deadline at work, or you're stuck in traffic. Now, while this can be nerve-wracking for sure, the feeling will not last long and again can be dealt with without any long-term effects. In fact, it might even give you that burst of energy and help motivate and enhance your performance if it's a work-related stress. The second type of stress is eustress. Now, this stress releases what we call feel-good hormones, such as dopamine, which creates a happy feeling. Now, while you may feel like you're under a lot of pressure, it's usually for something positive and exciting and is usually short-term. So for example, the feelings of stress that might come on when you're planning a wedding or any simcha. And the third type of stress is distress. This type of stress needs to be minimized and avoided as much as possible due to its potential to create unhealthy side effects. The feelings related to this type of stress are created when you can't cope, causing adverse effects such as depression, anxiety, fatigue, headaches, sleep problems, overeating, or undereating. And so we're going to be focusing on in today's presentation on the distress. This is the chronic stress that you might be living with, especially now during this time. So take a moment and give thought to these three types of stresses. Which of these three types of stress have you experienced in your life and or might be going through right now? And go ahead and record that on your worksheet. So here are some common examples of stressful events that you may have experienced: moving to a new home or a community, financial hardship, poor health. Other examples might be the birth of a child, which is happy, but sometimes stressful, the death of a loved one, starting a new job, the breakup of a relationship, anxieties of everyday living. The stress in these events is often related to frustration, demands that are placed on you, hassles that can cause you anger, the unknown. All this creates stress that takes a terrible toll on your body. Now, when an event is perceived as a threat, whether a deadline, a divorce, stalled traffic, misplaced keys, anger at your neighbor or your partner, the body goes back to that ancient fight or flight response that once meant life or death. So what are some symptoms of too much stress? Well, a symptom is any manifestation of a condition that is apparent to the person himself. So something consciously affecting him or her. Now, there are several common symptoms of stress that you might identify with. So for example, tiredness and exhaustion, nervousness or stomach problems, tight muscles, a change in appetite, general body complaints such as weakness, headaches, back pain, or sleep disturbances. Signs of stress? Well, a sign is any indication of a condition that can be objectively observed by someone else other than the person experiencing the stress. So some signs of stress include constantly being overwhelmed, having strained relationships, poor work performance, being overly emotional, like little things that might set you off, maybe feeling quote unquote out of control. So what exactly is happening in this stress response, the fight or flight response? So the stress hormones known as adrenaline and cortisol, which are released by the adrenal glands, floods the body, increasing your heart's need for oxygen as it prepares for vigorous action. So your heart rate increases, your blood pressure increases, your blood vessels constrict, your muscles tense, and your blood sugar levels rise. Your body is getting ready for fight or flight, and this is how your body prepares for that, such as fleeing from immediate danger, which requires immediate energy. But in this day and age, this mechanism can contribute to a whole host of negative health effects, including some cognitive effects like memory problems, emotional, maybe moodiness, behavioral, such as social isolation, and physical, for example, altered digestion and weight gain. So cortisol, which I mentioned, is known as the primary stress hormone. And that hormone also curbs non-essential functions in the body that would actually be detrimental during a fight or flight situation, such as digestion, reproduction, the growth process, and it also alters your immune system. So did you ever notice that when you're under a lot of stress, maybe your digestion is a little bit off? Perhaps you run to the bathroom a lot, or you're constipated, or you have heartburn, you're not digesting your food well. Or maybe you've noticed that you get more colds when you're under stress. This stress response is self-regulating. Your body decreases the hormone levels and enables your body to return to normal once a perceived threat has passed. As adrenaline and cortisol levels drop, your heart rate and your blood pressure and your blood sugar return to baseline and other symptoms resume regular activities. Now, we all blow up now and then, and the occasional blowing up, if you will, isn't really harmful. But if your emotional responses get stuck in a constant state of irritation and anger, your physical responses also stall in overdrive, raising the blood pressure, constricting blood vessels, and pouring out a constant flood of stress hormones. So in this time, especially during the pandemic, if our system is stuck in this stress response, well, what happens over time is the body becomes less sensitive to cortisol and the other stress hormones, and the adrenal glands respond by increasing production, even if the original trigger is no longer there. Now, currently, I think the trigger is still there because we're still living through the pandemic. But this is exactly what happens in a stress response and when we're living with chronic stress. Now, stress also affects the balance of neurotransmitters. So let's just talk about what those are. Neurotransmitters are chemical messengers such as serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine, which dictate how we experience emotion and how we feel. Serotonin, well, you probably have heard of serotonin. It's also known as the calming neurotransmitter. That's responsible for maintenance of good mood, normal sleep, and feelings of contentment. Dopamine is needed for healthy assertiveness, motivation, and a sense of readiness to face life's challenges. And norepinephrine is used for alertness and concentration. Now, deficiencies in these neurotransmitters can lead to depression, irritability, anxiety, sleeplessness, and food cravings. So as mentioned, chronic stress triggers the release of adrenaline and cortisol, known as the stress hormones, which interferes with your body's ability to stay in balance. Your body naturally reacts during stressful times by throwing off the equilibrium of these neurotransmitters. These are very important chemicals that communicate information throughout your brain and body. An unbalanced level of these neurotransmitters can interfere with your emotions and how you feel, affecting your mood, again, your sleeping pattern, your concentration, your eating patterns, your overall health. So let's take a closer look at how chronic stress can negatively affect your body in a variety of ways. You may want to note some of these ways down on your worksheet to see if they resonate with you. On a cognitive level, you may experience memory problems, inability to concentrate, poor judgment, racing thoughts, as well as negative thinking. On an emotional level, you may experience moodiness, irritability, inability to relax, loneliness, isolation, overwhelmed feelings, and depression. On a behavioral level, chronic stress can cause you to either eat more or less, sleep too much or too little, withdraw socially, causing you to isolate yourself from social engagements, neglect your responsibilities, use alcohol or drugs to relax, and develop nervous habits such as nail biting or picking. And on a physical level, you may experience digestive issues such as diarrhea, constipation, nausea, and heartburn. You might feel dizzy, experience weight gain, feel achy, and get more colds as your immune function will be affected by the chronic stress and you have a lower resistance to infection. So what are some of the negative effects that you've experienced from what I've just mentioned? So go ahead and fill that in on your worksheet. It's important to be very aware of how chronic stress is impacting you. Stress also negatively affects your nutritional status. Now, there are many nutrients that are used to fuel this fight or flight stress response, such as vitamins B and C, and minerals such as magnesium, calcium, potassium, zinc, and copper. These nutrients become depleted over time as a result of living with chronic stress. A common symptom of chronic stress is fatigue, which may in fact be a result of the depletion of these vitamins and minerals. So a side note here, and I have it up on the slide, if you are living in a state of chronic stress, and again, I do think most of us are in this pandemic, be sure to take a multivitamin with mineral supplement daily to ensure your body is not depleted of the essential vitamins and minerals it needs to properly function. Now, we are going to discuss more about nutrition for stressful times in just a little while. But before you begin any supplement, multivitamin or other, my recommendation is you must seek approval from your physician to make sure there are no contraindications with any of the medications you might be taking. So let's just take a moment to recap what we've covered so far before moving forward. We discussed the different types of stress, and you learned that while sometimes stress can be a motivator, such as a new stress or acute stress, it's the chronic stress you live with each day that has negative effects on your health. We also discussed the signs and symptoms of stress so you can be more alert to it in yourself and others. And you learn that chronic stress impacts your nutritional status and immune system. We all can recognize the importance of a strong immune system, especially in today's day and age. So we will now turn our attention to the foods that you can eat to reduce stress and build your immune system. There are 8 ways that I will be reviewing with you today that you can reduce your stress and build your immune system with food. Number 1, eat foods rich in immune-boosting nutrients. So a truly healthy immune system depends on a balanced mix of vitamins and minerals over time, not just in one meal. And it's generally best to get your vitamins and minerals from food rather than relying on a pill form. But again, in times of extreme stress, as I mentioned, a general multivitamin mineral supplement can help. So what are these immune boosting nutrients that I'm referring to? We're going to break that down into what we call macronutrients and micronutrients. So the macronutrients are the nutrients that you need in larger quantities that provide us with energy. In other words, fat, protein, and carbohydrate. Those are the 3 main macronutrients that are found in food. Micronutrients, on the other hand, are the vitamins and minerals that in food. They're equally important, but they are consumed in smaller amounts. So choosing balanced meals that contain complex carbohydrates, protein, and fat that will slowly fuel your brain chemicals throughout the day is the best way to keep your body in balance, especially during stressful times. Let's take a moment to understand a little bit more about the macronutrients. So how macronutrients impact the stress? How does it work? Well, complex carbohydrates, and we'll talk about food sources in just a moment, but complex carbohydrates increase the serotonin in the brain that, you know, boosts mood, calms you down, and helps you sleep. Protein-rich foods helps to keep blood sugar levels balanced, keeps you feeling fuller longer, and helps to repair your tissues and cells. And healthy fats, specifically omega-3 fatty acids, helps to decrease inflammation in the body that is caused by stress. So let's look at some of the food sources of macronutrients. Complex carbs are found in whole grains, fruits, and vegetables. Protein comes from food sources, including lean meats, fish, poultry, eggs, legumes, dairy products, and tofu. And healthy fats come from food sources such as olive oil, avocado, and nuts. So now we're going to talk about those micronutrients, immune-boosting micronutrients. Those would include vitamin A, vitamin E, and vitamin C. Let's start with vitamin A. Vitamin A has an antioxidant effect to help strengthen your immune system against infection by strengthening your body's barriers, such as skin and mucous membranes. Food sources of vitamin A include carrots, sweet potatoes, pumpkin, squash, and cantaloupe. Vitamin E, an antioxidant, helps your body fight infection. Food sources include almonds, peanuts, and sunflower seeds. And vitamin C, not only do foods high in vitamin C boost your immune system, but they can also curb levels of cortisol. Remember cortisol, the primary stress hormone, bringing cortisol levels back down to a normal range after a stressful encounter. And food sources include bell peppers, Brussels sprouts, spinach, kale, and citrus fruits. Now, there are nutrients that are depleted during stressful times, and those include vitamin B6. Well, vitamin B6 is needed to help produce the serotonin, that calming neurotransmitter mentioned quite a few times already. Vitamin B6 is part of nearly 200 reactions in your body, and it plays a critical role in how your immune system functions. So food sources would include sweet potatoes, baked potatoes, avocados, bananas, lean chicken, tuna, and chickpeas. Now, magnesium also becomes depleted when you are stressed, and you can replenish your magnesium levels with foods such as almonds and spinach. Zinc also becomes depleted during times of stress. Zinc helps control inflammation in the body and aids in the immune response. Food sources include lean meats and poultry, beans, yogurt, chickpeas. And finally, selenium works with vitamin E as an antioxidant to keep the immune system functioning properly. And again, can be depleted during stressful times. Food sources include garlic, broccoli, sardines, tuna, barley, and Brazil nuts. So you can see that a balanced diet with an abundance of key nutrients can help build your immune system. Okay, now, the second way that you can build your immune system with food is to eat colorful fruits and vegetables. In other words, eat the colors of the rainbow. So let's define some terms. Phytochemicals, also known as phytonutrients, are the substances that give fruits and vegetables their bright color. They act as antioxidants and are essential in helping fight cancer and other chronic conditions. Free radicals are activated oxygen molecules that cause damage to the cell membrane and DNA and are thought to be associated with cancer and heart disease. Free radical production occurs naturally, but increases with exposure to pollution, radiation, cigarette smoke, and herbicides. They can affect your skin as well as all the other organs and cells in your body. Now, I don't say this to be alarming. It happens in the process of living and aging. And antioxidants, well, those actually destroy these free radicals. And there are four major antioxidants: beta carotene, vitamin C, vitamin E, and selenium, which are found in fruits and vegetables. So do you see how important it is to eat fruits and vegetables that contain antioxidants? Antioxidant nutrients are thought to block these free radicals and prevent cell damage. Antioxidants benefit your body in many ways, and we know that foods high in antioxidants are absolutely good for you. So let's take a closer look at the colors of the rainbow and the phytonutrients that they provide. So red, blue, and purple fruits and vegetables contain what we call anthocyanins and or lycopene. And these phytonutrients help to limit damage caused by the free radicals and keep your immune system healthy. Food sources include tomatoes, apples, blueberries, and eggplant. Orange and yellow fruits and vegetables contain carotenoids, which improve immune function as well. And food sources include carrots, cantaloupe, and yellow peppers. Green fruits and vegetables contain lutein, which helps keep your eyes healthy and can also strengthen your immune system. Food sources include kale, spinach, and artichoke. And white, dark red, and blue fruits and vegetables contain quercetin, which are filled with anti-inflammatory properties. And foods, for example, include all types of onions, cranberries, and blueberries. Okay, now we're up to the third way that you can build your immune system with food, and that is by buying organic produce when possible. Synthetic fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, they do find our way into our food. And pesticides suppress the immune system and leads to a weakened response to fight off infections. This has been shown in farm workers who handle the pesticides and consumers of contaminated fruits and vegetables. There is a group called the Environmental Working Group. That is a nonprofit organization, and they test produce each year, and they've come up with an annual guide to pesticides in produce. And this is known as the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. So the Dirty Dozen is a list of produce that has the highest amount of pesticides. And it's recommended that you buy these organic if possible. I say if possible because organic produce does tend to be more costly and not everyone can purchase them. If you cannot purchase the Dirty Dozen, then the Environmental Working Group recommends you still eat plenty of produce, fruits and vegetables for all the other benefits, because the, you know, the benefits of the antioxidants and the phytonutrients outweighs the risk, especially if you properly wash your produce. The Clean 15 is a list of produce that has the lowest amount of pesticides. And so again, to the best of your ability, and I will share with you the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15 in just a moment, but to the best of your ability, limit or avoid fruits and vegetables from the Dirty Dozen list and choose those from the Clean 15 list. So this is the current Dirty Dozen list. Again, every January, this is updated. So right now on the Dirty Dozen list, we have strawberries, spinach, kale, nectarines, apples, grapes, peaches, cherries, pears, tomatoes, celery, potatoes, plus hot peppers. There's a bonus one there. And foods on the Clean 15 list include avocado, sweet corn, pineapple, onions, papaya, frozen sweet peas, eggplant, asparagus, cauliflower, cantaloupe, broccoli, mushrooms, cabbage, honeydew, and kiwi. Now, I did provide a link on the bottom of this slide. If you didn't get a chance to write all these down, EWG.org is the Environmental Working Group. And you can just even Google Dirty Dozen and Clean 15, and every January get the updated list. So you can decide if you want to buy some of these produce as organic or not. Okay, the fourth way that you can build your immune system is to drink filtered water and to stay well hydrated. Okay, so there are many water treatment technologies for filtering water, but the goal is the same: to remove contaminants from your drinking water. Now, we're not going to go into the different types of water today, but we are going to be focusing on staying well hydrated. Americans just don't drink enough water. Most of the beverages Americans drink, coffee, tea, soda, actually have caffeine, and that can act as a diuretic, which can lead to dehydration. Your body is made up to 70% water. Every organ needs water to function properly. It's so very important to drink water to stay hydrated. So water helps to get rid of waste through urination, perspiration, bowel movements. It keeps your temperature normal. It helps to lubricate and cushion your joints and protects sensitive tissues. So a lack of water can lead to dehydration, a condition that occurs when you don't have enough water in your body to carry out normal functions. Even mild dehydration can drain your energy and make you tired. Staying in a good hydrated status can also keep your stress levels down. When you don't give your body the fluids it needs, you're actually putting stress on it, and it's going to respond to that. Drinking plenty of water to avoid dehydration also helps to keep those cortisol levels lower. So how much? Well, the Institute of Medicine recommends about 15 cups of fluid per day for men and about 11 per day for women. This recommendation covers fluid from water, other beverages, and food. So about 20% of the daily fluid intake usually comes from food, and the rest, 80%, usually comes from your beverages. Now, these recommendations are just guidelines. They're not rules. The amount that you need depends on many factors, such as the weather where you live, how active you are, and your overall health. Your body loses fluid when you have a fever, when you're vomiting or diarrhea. And then there are other conditions that also require an increased fluid intake, such as bladder infections and kidney stones. Now, the often repeated nutrition advice to quote unquote, drink 8 glasses of water every day, well, there's actually little evidence to support that particular recommendation. However, it is one excellent way to really fulfill most of a person's fluid requirement. So my recommendation to prevent dehydration and make sure your body has the fluid it needs, well, I still recommend to make water your beverage of choice. Number 5. So the fifth way to boost your immune system is to reduce your caffeine. Just watch how much caffeine you're taking in. Caffeine is present in other foods and beverages as well, but it is in a high amount in coffee, and that stimulates the release of cortisol, norepinephrine, and epinephrine, which exacerbates the stress response. So if you're already stressed, this will heighten your body's own response and further suppress your immune system. So decaf coffee, believe it or not, can also elicit the stress response. Only about 97% of the caffeine is removed, and people who are quite sensitive to caffeine will still feel its effects. The combination of stress plus regular caffeine intake contributes increasingly to higher cortisol levels, which studies have shown can lead to chronic illness, heart disease, and weight gain. Caffeine can also make you feel jittery and on edge, anxious, nervous, as well as interfere with your regular sleeping patterns. And it can also inhibit the absorption of adenosine. Adenosine is a hormone that has a calming effect on the body. So you might say, well, what should I drink? Well, opting for herbal tea instead of coffee can increase energy, digestion, decrease cravings, improve muscle aches or tension, and relieve headaches. Herbal teas have a lot of wonderful benefits. So just giving you an example here, tea such as chamomile has a calming anti-inflammatory property. Green tea, an antioxidant that also has anti-inflammatory properties. Lavender tea, which is my favorite, is relaxing and it helps with anxiety, insomnia, and an upset stomach. And peppermint tea's taste and aroma can actually be energizing and stress reducing as well. There are many herbal teas on the market. This is just a sampling. The sixth way to boost your immune system is by including herbs and spices in your cooking. The benefits of using herbs and spices are plentiful. They contain antioxidants and have anti-inflammatory properties. They reduce the amount of fat that you might use in cooking for flavor, which can lower your lipid levels, cholesterol, right? Therefore, reducing your cardiovascular risk. And by using more herbs and spices in cooking, you also can reduce the amount of added sugar that you use by using sweet tasting spices. So for example, allspice, cloves, anise, ginger, cardamom, mace, cinnamon, nutmeg, those would all be spices that you can use to replace some of that sugar and get a sweet taste. Using herbs and spices can also help you cut back on your salt use. And to help you with some tips on using herbs and spices to reduce salt, if you want a dish with savory flavors or maybe flavors with some bite, instead of salt, you can use black pepper, garlic powder, curry, cumin, dill, basil, ginger, coriander. Those are the most effective when replacing the taste of salt. If you are someone who salts the water when you're cooking pasta, well, let's omit that salt and flavor instead with some basil, oregano, parsley, pepper, for example. And always check labels to see that salt or sodium are not listed among the ingredients on your spices. Let's take a closer look at some of those immune boosting herbs with anti-inflammatory properties. Basil, one of my favorite, has antibacterial properties, goes really well with various meats, tomato, mozzarella, and Asian stir fries. Oregano has the highest antioxidant level when compared to most fresh herbs. And it also has those antibacterial properties. You can add oregano to vegetables, omelets, and bread for more flavor. Parsley has heart protective properties. It contains vitamins K, C, and A, and goes well with pasta dishes, fish, and chicken. And rosemary, in addition to being an anti-inflammatory, stimulates the immune system and pairs well with omelets, chicken, lamb, tomato sauce, and various stews. Now, there are other herbs with high concentration of antioxidants as well. For example, sage, peppermint, thyme, ginger, and curry. So I invite you to explore all the various herbs that are out there. As for immune boosting spices, cinnamon is rich in manganese, which has antioxidant properties. And the essential oils from cinnamon also have some anti-inflammatory action. Cinnamon pairs well with oatmeal and curries and Middle Eastern dishes and black beans. Turmeric acts as an anti-inflammatory agent and can be added to egg or potato salad or any lentil dish. Paprika, anti-inflammatory, and it has antioxidant properties and goes well with chicken and fish and rice, cauliflower and potatoes. And ginger also has anti-inflammatory and immune-boosting properties and pairs well with stir fries, baked fruit dishes, and citrus flavors. So again, I invite you to explore the various spices that are out there and experiment in the kitchen. They have wonderful medicinal benefits. The seventh way to boost your immune system with food is to eat foods rich in dietary fiber. So fiber is found in carbohydrates that are unrefined and unprocessed. So let's take a closer look at fiber. Fiber is a compound in carbohydrate that's not digestible. It acts like a broom that sweeps out the intestines, carrying with it the waste, some toxins and bacteria, helping to keep your digestive system clean and healthy. Currently, Americans eat approximately 10 to 15 grams of dietary fiber a day, many people even less. And the recommended daily amount, well, it's about 25 grams of fiber for women and up to 38 grams for men. So where do you fall? How close are you to those recommended amounts? There are two types of fiber, soluble and insoluble. Let's first talk about soluble fiber. Soluble fiber binds cholesterol, glucose, and other toxins and carries them out of the body. Consuming just 5 to 10 grams of soluble fiber per day helps to reduce your LDL, that's the bad cholesterol, and your total cholesterol by approximately 5 to 11 points. So food sources of soluble fiber will include whole grains that are coming from oat, barley, and rye. So such as oat cereals like oatmeal, oat bran, even Cheerios. It comes from a whole grain rye bread, beans and legumes such as chickpeas and kidney beans and dried split peas, also flax seeds and some vegetables like Brussels sprouts. Insoluble fiber is the type of fiber that adds bulk to prevent constipation and speed up the passage of food and waste. Food sources of insoluble fiber would include whole wheat, whole grains that are made from wheat, wheat bran, seeds, quinoa, couscous, brown rice, bulgur, dark leafy green vegetables, and fruit and root vegetable skins. So if you are able to digest the skins of various fruits and vegetables, I would encourage you to eat the skin for the insoluble fiber. And the eighth way to boost your immune system with food is to include omega-3 fatty acids in your meals. So omega-3 fatty acids are considered essential, meaning that your body doesn't produce it. We need to get it through food. So what are your omega-3 fatty acids? There are three types. Plant-based omega-3 is what we call ALA or alpha-linolenic acid. That's found in olive oil, flaxseed or flaxseed oil, walnuts and walnut oil. My favorite way to get ALA in my diet every day is through milled flax seeds and even walnuts. The animal-based omega-3 fatty acids are EPA and DHA, which are found in fatty fish, such as salmon, tuna, sardines, herring, and mackerel. The American diet is imbalanced and is overloaded with omega-6 fatty acids, not omega-3. It's overloaded with omega-6, which is associated with increased inflammation. So let me just tell you about omega-6. Omega-6 fatty acids are found in most vegetable oils. That would include sunflower, safflower, soybean, and corn oils. Now, omega-6 fats are beneficial. They can be beneficial to your body in that they can help lower harmful LDL cholesterol and boost protective HDL and keep your blood sugar in check by improving your body's sensitivity to insulin. They can be positive, but at too high a level, they can cause inflammation in the body, increasing one's risk of chronic disease. And currently, in this day and age, people have too high of an omega-6 intake, and therefore we want to increase omega-3. The recommended ratio for omega-3 to omega-6 is 1:4. And currently we're at about 1:15. So working some more omega-3 fatty acids into your daily diet is highly recommended. Okay, so now that we went through those 8 ways that you can improve and increase your immune system through food, let's do some simple food swaps so you can actually see how to put this into practice. We're going to start with some breakfast food swaps. So I suggest swap the egg white omelet for the veggie omelet. So you're probably thinking that the egg white omelet is better for you, right? How many of you, by a show of hands, think that eating an egg white omelet is really, quote unquote, good for you in the mornings? Well, the whole egg provides fat-soluble vitamins, such as vitamins A, D, and K, as well as choline, an essential nutrient. And it also includes omega-3s versus the egg whites, which don't provide as many healthy fats or micronutrients, which we know by now, right, give you that immune boost. So then you go ahead and add those immune boosting vegetables to the egg, to the omelet, such as red peppers and green peppers and onions and spinach, rich in nutrients such as vitamin C and phytonutrients, which act as antioxidants to help boost your immune system and really get rid of those free radicals we talked about. So the veggie omelet would be a better suggestion. Swap the coffee for herbal tea. So as you learn today, herbal teas contain health benefits, right? Such as anti-inflammatory and stress-reducing properties. So try, if you can, to opt to have that herbal tea instead of that caffeinated coffee, which, as we learned, can elicit a stress response. Swap the juice in the morning for fruit-infused water. Now, it could be plain water, but fruit-infused water is kind of fun. So that gives you, fruit-infused water gives you the hydration of a cool glass of water with sweet and tangy flavors of whatever fruit you choose to use. So the flavor of the fruit will infuse into the water, although the water itself won't necessarily take on much of an increase in vitamin levels, unless you go ahead and squeeze the fruit to release more juice into the water, then more vitamins and minerals will be released. They make these fruit infused water pitchers with an insert cylinder inserted in the middle that really helps to infuse the fruit into the water. Lemon and lime infused water is the most common, but you can also infuse water with herbs like we talked about before, different herbs, mint, sage, or basil. So give it a try. Let me share some popular combinations with you. If you want to write these down, grab your pen. Lemon and strawberry infused water, strawberry and basil, watermelon and mint, cucumber and mint, and pineapple and ginger. So give it a try. I'd love to hear how you like it. And then finally, swap the sugary cereal for high fiber cereal. So again, cereal with more fiber will allow your body to sweep out those toxins, keeping your body and your immune system on track. Let's move into some lunch food swaps. Swap the Caesar salad for a salad with protein and nuts. So a salad that has protein and nuts gives you additional macro and micronutrients with immune boosting properties. And then if you add some flaxseed and walnuts to that, well, you're getting some additional omega-3s in there as well. Swap the white sandwich roll for whole wheat bread, which is a great source of fiber that can rid your body of toxins. Swap the mayo for an avocado spread. So avocados are rich in fiber, potassium, and healthy unsaturated fats, all adding to additional immune support versus the mayo, which doesn't have many micronutrient benefits. And then swap those chips. If you have like a sandwich and chips for lunch, swap the chips for some baked fruit, which provides sweetness and complex carbs to help reduce the stress and provide vitamins and minerals to boost your immune system. And finally, some dinner swaps. Well, if you're using salt seasoning, let's swap that out for the fresh herbs and spices we talked about, which gives your meal an additional immune boosting property to fight inflammation. We'll swap out that white fish for the fatty fish, such as salmon, for those omega-3 fatty acids. We'll swap the ground beef patty for the chicken or turkey patty, which is a leaner protein choice. And we'll swap some canned veggies for fresh or frozen veggies. Just again, cutting down on any additional sodium intake that might be found in those canned vegetables. So now the final portion of today's presentation is going to focus on some strategies to eat healthy while working from home. Now, again, whether you're working, you have a job, maybe you're doing volunteer work, or again, you're just spending more time at home these days, these strategies will help. Number one, eat small, frequent meals and snacks to keep your blood glucose and your energy levels stable. Be sure not to skip meals. And a lot of people will skip meals when they're home or they're not on a schedule. Not recommended. If you skip meals, you will generally arrive at your next meal over hungry. Number two, eat in the kitchen or in the dining area, away from your workspace, the computer, the TV. This is part of self-care, taking the time to nourish yourself in a mindful way. Three, eat without distractions. You will get much more satisfaction and pleasure out of your food by paying attention to what you're eating. And you'll also be able to stop at the first sign of fullness and avoid overeating. I know this is one of the biggest challenges my clients have, to not eat with distraction, to put their phone away, the TV. It's so important to really learn to eat and just eat. Number four, choose meals that include a balance of carbs, protein, and fat to keep your energy levels well balanced. And we talked about that earlier in the presentation about how important balanced meals are. Don't eliminate one of these groups. Have all three present at those meals. Five, stock your home with wholesome ingredients in the beginning of the week to limit the stress of what's for dinner tonight? So plan a menu of healthy meals and snacks at the beginning of each week. Make your shopping list of what ingredients you're going to need. Take it to go food shopping so you're ready for the week. And six, stay physically active. Activity is a very effective means to reduce stress, blood pressure, muscle tension, feelings of depression and anxiety, and an overall sense of stress and tension. So it is so important to stay physically active. And it also increases your resistance to colds and illness, and it improves your sleep quality, among many other benefits. Now, I realize that I went over a lot today, and knowledge is really only the first step, right? It's implementing it to stay healthy and well that is sometimes challenging. Well, impacting your ability to implement what you know is good for you has a lot to do with what I call your eating habits personality. There are four different eating habit personality types that can impact your food choices and your health. So I put together a quiz. You can find out what your eating habit personality type is by taking the quiz at that link located on the screen, which is covered right now. Let me go ahead and get it. brghealth.com/health-quiz. It'll be very informative for you. And as a thank you for joining me today, I have a special gift for you, again, to help you implement everything you've learned in today's presentation. It's 8 easy stress-busting food and recipes. It's an ebook I've created, and that's a free download for you at brghealth.com/stress-busting-foods. This link is also located on the back of your worksheet at the bottom. So I hope this information has been very helpful. And if you would like to learn more or ask any questions, my number is on the screen. You can feel free to email me and feel free to visit my website, brghealth.com. just learn about all the services and programs that I offer. Thank you so much for having me today, and I wish everybody a happy and healthy new year and good health going forward. Thank you, Judy.
Bonnie, that was absolutely amazing. You gave us so much information, and I think particularly at this time when we are all going to be doing a lot of eating over the next few weeks, you've given us a lot of strategies so that we can, you know, make proper choices. I know that it'll be very helpful for me and for my family. So thank you so much again for joining us. I just want to let everyone know that this is our last spirit program before our Yontif break. I think it was a good way to end off. And with God's help, we will be returning to the Spirit Forum on Tuesday, October 5th. So just watch your emails for registration. At this time during Elul, we are all considering many requests for tzedakah. And I would ask each one of you to consider this OU Spirit program as one of yours. For the past 17 months, we have been proud to present excellent programs like this one for our spirit demographic. And all of our programs are archived in ou.org/spirit. So if you missed anything, if you want to go back, Bonnie has presented twice before, and you can see all her programs there. We look forward to continued programming in the coming months, but we need your help. And we ask you to respond either through the secure donate button on the emails that you always receive, or by sending in a check to the Orthodox Union. Again, that is also on the Spirit emails, and I make sure that it's earmarked for OU Spirit program. We thank you for your support and enthusiastic participation in this endeavor. Now, I wish all of you and your families the Kesiva, the Chasima Tova, a healthy and a happy new year. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.